We're going to talk about the fact that Saturday just gone was World Refugee Day. And we've got a special report, which we're going to bring you now, that just might provoke a few thoughts among our listeners about the whole subject and status of refugees. And after we hear that, we're going to be speaking to my colleague here in Radio Kerry, Yulia Rybova from Ukraine, and also to Robert Carey from NEWKD, and talking a little bit more about how changing government policy is affecting Ukrainians living here in Kerry and all over Ireland. But first of all, let's listen to that brief report.
Hello, my name is Victoria.
My name is Natalia.
Kate.
Pavlo.
Anna.
My name is Olya.
Vitaly.
Daria.
Yuri.
I'm Maria.
My name is Daria. I'm from Kharkiv, Ukraine.
I'm from Chernihiv.
I am from Donetsk.
Hello, my name is Elvira. I'm from Odessa.
I'm from Odessa.
I am from Odessa.
I am from Odessa.
My name is Ina. I'm from Kyiv.
I'm from Kyiv.
I'm from Kyiv.
Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine.
My name is Zarina. I am 6 years old. When I came to Ireland, I was only three.
I came to Ireland in February 2023 because of the war.
I came to Ireland in April 2022.
Almost 4 years ago.
April 2023.
1 year ago.
In the summer 2025.
I came to Ireland 1st of September 2022 with my younger son, Timo.
It took us a week to get to Ireland because we were going with two kids, 3 years old and 3 months old. We spent 20 hours on the ferry. We spent a few hours in City West, and they sent us from Dublin to Tralee straight away.
Kerry became for me the safety place when I needed it most.
A safe and welcoming place.
A second home.
We really love Ballyhaik because this village is so beautiful. We live 2 minutes near the ocean.
I'm very happy to be surrounded by mountains and oceans because it helps your mental state.
For me personally, nature of Kerry helped me to cope with experience of displacement.
This is one of the most beautiful things that I saw in my life. Amazing, especially in the sunny weather.
The people are very kind, and the Irish accent is easy to understand most of the time.
Irish people are just wonderful, and I'm very grateful for their help and support, and I really appreciate to have Irish people as my friends.
I would like to thank Irish people and Ireland for your constant support for all of us through all these years. It brings the light in our lives in the darkest of times.
I live in Kerry for over 3 years. I found very good job. I have a lot of friends here. And I also found my love.
As a young person, I have experienced a lot here. At the first time, I first time apply for the higher education. I find my first work. I start my first relationship.
In Ireland, I managed to find friends, relationship. I graduated from local college.
I finished QQI 6, and now I'm halfway through to getting my bachelor degree in very new occupation for me.
I wanted to try something new and took a barista course.
I just passed my Ukrainian living cert, and I plan to continue my education in Ireland.
When I came to Ireland, my kids were very little. As a mother, I am proud how they adapted here in Ireland.
Our children speak two languages, Ukrainian and English, like native speakers.
My biggest achievement is learning English, as I came to Ireland without any language.
I improved my speaking English because when I just came to Ireland, I knew English but couldn't speak.
Over this time, I have been able to improve my English and reduce my anxiety.
I learned to transform my pain into art. I became a photographer and started exploring topics of displacement, belonging, and healing.
My biggest achievement is that I made a short documentary movie, Choirmaster. For me, it's a therapy movie. During small local story with my choirmaster Lilia, I'm kind of showing the situation which all Ukrainians are going through right now.
My main achievement is
possibility to make an impact and contribute to Irish society back for all their support to us and building this bridge between the Ukrainian and Irish community.
My biggest concern right now is the lives of Ukrainian people back at home.
Because a war is not over.
Every day, my friends and my family have to face Russian attacks.
Ukrainian war is now not on the first line of the news, and for Ukrainian people, war is still going.
The places where I spent my youth are being damaged by Russian drones and missiles almost every night. I am afraid that one day I will come back for a visit and find that all the places that are important and special to me have been completely destroyed.
I still have friends and family in Ukraine, so every major attack feels very hurtful, and I try to keep in touch and text to them all the time just to check on how they're keeping.
I'm really worried about my friends who are fighting now in Ukraine and who just lived in Ukraine, because every day, every night, Russians attack all Ukraine, and I'm afraid to lose somebody else because I already lost my friends since 2022. This is the biggest fear.
My biggest concern is that Ukraine will be forced to unstable peace and will be at the edge of the new war very, very soon.
I am afraid of legal uncertainty, not knowing who I am here, what my status is.
I worry the most about my daughter. I really hope we can stay in Ireland and build our future here.
I am quite concerned how the Ukrainians will be here for a long time, what the documents will be for them. I hope it will be figured out soon and will be more understandable, and then people will be able to live here for a long time and to be safe here.
My biggest dream at the moment, it may be naive, but it's world without wars, because no one shouldn't go through the same experience as we are.
I dream of peace in Ukraine.
I truly want peace.
I believe that the war will end soon, and for that to happen, we all need to keep supporting Ukraine.
I hope we beat Russians as quickly as possible. And I dream that the whole world will fight with us, because Russians won't stop in Ukraine. So my dream is beat them together.
My biggest dream for now is continue my life, my new life that I start here in Ireland, to develop personally, to still make new friends, find new opportunities here, and continue contributing to the Irish community.
I hope I will be able to finish my college, to get some work experience and enjoy my life in Kerry.
My goal now is to start my own auto detailing business.
I hope to keep growing as a visual artist.
My dream is to create the foundation for collaboration between Irish and Ukrainian businesses after I graduate.
I dream that the war will end soon and that my child will be able to grow up in a free, safe Ukraine surrounded by family and loved ones.
It's nearly my birthday. When it's going to be my birthday, I'm going to be 7. And I'm going to ride a real horse. And I'll be so happy.
There you go. Some of the voices of people from Ukraine living here in Kerry, really showing us that this isn't just a political issue. These are real people, each one with their own story, everyone trying to do their best in a new place over the last number of years. Robert, just to come to you, first of all, a lot of people from Ukraine are in limbo now because of this new government policy. And we don't have a huge amount of time, but can you kind of give us a summing up of what that new policy is and how it affects people?
Yeah, so I suppose there's two key elements. One is to do with accommodation. So they want to, phase out state-supported accommodation over the next, and I think it's until March 2027. So that would mean that people in hotels, guest houses and so on, and also people who are getting who are in private accommodation but getting a supplement from the government, their houses that weren't on the market but the government gave an incentive to bring them on the market to house Ukrainians. So I suppose, like on one hand, you can see there's an argument for that in terms of, you know, bringing guest house back into to use and so on, and hotels. But of course, there is no accommodation there. You know, we're in a massive housing crisis. You just need to look at, you know, the property boards around town or in any town in Kerry. So you're gonna looking at a homeless problem. You're looking at exacerbating the existing housing crisis, which, you know, creates tensions with, you know, local population. So it's I haven't heard, unless I'm mistaken, I haven't heard what the plan is, you know, as to how people are going to be housed when they leave this accommodation. And you're talking about, you know, you're talking about thousands of people in Kerry alone, and obviously multiples of that throughout the country. The second thing is this transition to this transition status. So the idea behind this is good in the sense that, you know, it's trying to give a pathway to Ukrainians who want to stay in Ireland. So to give them a pathway to citizenship. And that's, you know, like, that's a really good idea. The negatives are that, number one, the time that Ukrainians have spent in Kerry to date, so like some people are coming up to 5 years, you know, 4 years plus, that time is not counted. Now, in normal circumstances, if you're a refugee in Ireland, for 5 years, you can apply for citizenship. Now, Ukrainians are refugees by the definition, the 1951 definition, but they're under a thing called temporary protection, which was a device the EU came up with just to cope with the numbers. But in fact, you know, it does seem an inequality that the time that they've spent here isn't counted. So what they would do is they would they'd apply for this stamp 4, which would allow them to work and reside in Ireland, and then they'd reapply for that every 2 years, and after 5 years of that, then they can apply for citizenship. So if you're here 4 years, that's 4 and 5 would be 9, right? So the other side of it is that it's a particular cohort that would be able to I suppose avail of it. You have to be earning 29,500 a year. You have to have your own accommodation, and I suppose that rules out people such as, we'll say, people with disabilities, pensioners, also young mothers who, you know, maybe work part time because they're minding their children, and like the majority of Ukrainians in the country, I think it's 75%, are children and mothers. So it's kind of restricted in who it's appealing to, and it's not clear what the pathway for them is. So, like, I mean, I know that some commentary has called it like a soft deportation, that they're trying to encourage people to go. So, I mean, I suppose if it's really trying to help Ukrainians with a pathway to citizenship, they really need to look at it and to make it more workable, I think, you know. And so it's the accommodation issue and that issue would be the two issues. And I suppose there is a sense that, you know, Ireland has given great support to Ukraine and Ukrainian people, including the Irish government, in fairness. But there's a sense that maybe there's a bit of a hardening of the policies, and that's coming at a time when the war is getting worse. So if there was a moral imperative there back in 2022, what's happened to the moral imperative now? Like, as an illustration, I think May was the worst. Civilian casualties since the start of the war, May this year. So there seems to be a sort of inconsistency there, you know?
Yeah, and I was just going to cut across you and say, meanwhile, there's no sign of the war ending. It's still going on. Lives are still being lost. It's still unsafe for people to go back.
Absolutely.
Yulia, what is the mood like within the Ukrainian community in Kerry at the moment? Is there a lot of fear? Is there uncertainty?
Uncertainty, but we're kind of used to it by now, because every year we know that our status ends in March and we wait until maybe February, and that's only when we find out what is going to be happening next. This year, it was nice to get some clarity in advance, but then it kind of brought more questions that are being unanswered at the moment, because as Robert mentioned there, it's only limited number of people, I'd say maybe 20,000 out of 80,000, and that's like optimistic. You have 85,000 Ukrainians in the country, maybe 20,000 would somehow make it through that transitional status, and the rest are pensioners, students, single mothers and stuff like that, and they would be looking at what exactly, we don't know.
And would you say that a lot of Ukrainians are happy here and actually would like to stay?
You just heard them speaking. They love it here. And like some people would think of going back to Ukraine when it's safe there. Some people would think of returning. Some people have nothing to return to. People from occupied territories, their houses might be completely destroyed. Their families might be gone, or their friends. And so it would be like different cases. And there would be people who would want to return. But at the moment, probably not. Because even among these people that you heard in the report, there are people who came here in 2025 because they there is a lady who just had her kid. And she herself, she would stay in Ukraine, but for a kid, she left. And obviously, she won't bring her one, I think, 17-month-old kid back to Ukraine, back to war zone.
Yeah, so that's the situation people find themselves in. Just briefly, Robert, are a lot of the Ukrainians who know that they have to move out of the hotel accommodation in March, have a lot of them already moved out anyway and found alternative accommodation? I presume that's in a minority, though.
I mean, people have moved out over the years and gone into the private sector, so people have done that. And a lot of people want to do that but can't get private accommodation. So I think the options for people now who have to move out of state accommodation are, like, they're very, very limited. You know, it's just not there. I mean, it's not there for Irish people. It's not there for Ukrainians. So, yeah, it's considering we have one of the worst housing crises in Europe, it's just hard to figure out why the government are doing it now. You know, if they had an ambition to do it over X number of years, you might say, you know, that does make some kind of sense. But yeah, I can't. What's the implementation plan, I suppose, is what I'd be asking, you know, yeah. What's going to happen on the ground.
And we'll have to wait and see in that regard. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. We're out of time, but it was good to get a general picture of how the Ukrainian community are feeling and what lies in store for them.
Just one thing that I want to remind everyone, that when you see the word migrant or the word refugee somewhere in media, it's usually in the negative connotation. But just remember that all of them are people, and all of them their own stories. And they are here and they are trying the best they can. So just keep supporting them, please.
Very well said. Thank you for that, Yulia. And thank you also to Robert Carey from NEWKD, just here to chat to us and to mark the fact that it was World Refugee Day on Saturday.